Welcome to Zichu Daf Simani Memor by Ram Golda, and today Masechus Baba Basra, Daf Samach Vav, the fourth pair Kamurchas Abayis. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, a second attempt is made to identify where Rabbi Eliezer said that anything which was fashioned and then attached is considered karka. A Mishnah discusses a kaveris dvorim, a beehive, which the Gemara assumes was attached to the ground. Rabbi Eliezer says, Hari kakarka, it's halachically like land, and can be acquired with money, a shtar, or chazaka. One may write a prusbol for a loan on its basis. The beehive, including its honey, is not susceptible to tumah while in its place. And one who breaks honey out of it on Shabbos is chayv to bring a chattas for katsira, reaping. The Chachamim disagree with all these rulings. This proves Rabbi Eliezer holds that anything attached to the ground is considered karka. The Gemara answers Rabbi Eliezer's opinions based on a drasha, v'yitpa osa b'yars hadvash, and he dipped into the forest of honey, teaching, ma yar hatosh mimenu b'shabbos chayv chattas, just as with a forest, one who detaches something from it on Shabbos is chayv for chattas, af dvash arod mimenu b'shabbos chayv chattas, so too with honey, one who breaks it off from the hive on Shabbos is chayv for chattas, even if it's not physically attached. Point number two, the Gemara presents the Mishnah, Dav shel nachtom shekavu b'koso, regarding a baker's board, either for preparing dough or for displaying bread for sale, which was attached to a wall. Well, as a rule, it is not susceptible to tumah because it's considered part of the wall. The Chachamim say it's susceptible to tumah. Since no distinctions are made, they apparently argue both where the board was planed before it was attached, as well as after. Thus, neither Tana agrees with the brice on the previous daf about a pipe disqualifying a mikvah, which distinguishes between whether it was hauled before or after it was attached to the ground. After proving this mission is discussing a daf shel mateches, a metal board which is biblically susceptible to tumah when detached, the Gemara answers the Rabban here can agree to the distinction of the water pipe because Shani Sheiva the Rabban, the law of drawn water, which disqualifies this mikvah, is different because it's only rabbinical and more lenient. Still, if it was first hauled out, it disqualifies the mikvah. Dikator is kliyala betalish because it had the status of a vessel while detached. And point number three, Rav Yosef asked, Mega shamin shochav shavahem hadich es yisroblin. Rainwater which one consciously intended to wash his mill ring, the frame which is fixed around the base of a mill. Malu Zroim, what is the halacha regarding its rendering seeds susceptible to tumah? Any water which the food's owner wanted for some purpose renders food susceptible to tumah, even if he was not pleased with the water's contact with his food, provided that purpose did not involve karka. According to Rabbi Eliezer, who said anything attached to the ground is considered karka, and even an attached mortar is sold to the house, it's obvious that this rainwater would not render the seed susceptible to tumah, since a mill ring is considered karka. The question is relevant according to the Rabban, who say an attached mortar is not sold to the house, but a mill ring is sold. Do they consider both items which were fashioned and then attached as metaltelin, yet the mill ring is sold because it's designed to be fixed in the ground with this house? Or do they consider both to be like karka, but the mortar is not sold because mocher b'ayin ra? The question is left unresolved. So once again, the 3 points are number one. A second attempt is made to identify where Rabbi Eliezer said that anything which was fashioned and then attached is considered karka. A Mishnah discusses a kaveris dvorim, a beehive, which the Gemara assumes was attached to the ground. Rabbi Eliezer says, Hari kakarka, it's halachically like land, and can be acquired with money, a shtar, or chazaka. One may write a prusbol for a loan on its basis. The beehive, including its honey, is not susceptible to tumah while in its place. And one who breaks honey out of it on Shabbos is chayv to bring a chattas for katsira, reaping. The Chachamim disagree with all these rulings. This proves Rabbi Eliezer holds that anything attached to the ground is considered karka. The Gemara answers Rabbi Eliezer's opinions based on a drasha, v'yitpa osa b'yars hadvash, and he dipped into the forest of honey, teaching, ma yar hatosh mimenu b'shabbos chayv chattas, just as with a forest, one who detaches something from it on Shabbos is chayv for chattas, af dvash arod mimenu b'shabbos chayv chattas, so too with honey, one who breaks it off from the hive on Shabbos is chayv for chattas, even if it's not physically attached. Point number two, the Gemara presents the Mishnah, Dav shel nachtom shekavu b'koso, regarding a baker's board, either for preparing dough or for displaying bread for sale, which was attached to a wall. Well, as a rule, it is not susceptible to tumah because it's considered part of the wall. The Chachamim say it's susceptible to tumah. Since no distinctions are made, they apparently argue both where the board was planed before it was attached, as well as after. Thus, neither Tana agrees with the brice on the previous daf about a pipe disqualifying a mikvah, which distinguishes between whether it was hauled before or after it was attached to the ground. After proving this mission is discussing a daf shel mateches, a metal board which is biblically susceptible to tumah when detached, the Gemara answers the Rabban here can agree to the distinction of the water pipe because Shani Sheiva the Rabban, the law of drawn water, which disqualifies this mikvah, is different because it's only rabbinical and more lenient. Still, if it was first hauled out, it disqualifies the mikveh. Dikatoris kuyalah betalish, because it had the status of a vessel while detached. And point number three, Rav Yosef asked, Megur shamin shochav shavahim ladiach es yisroblin. Rainwater which one consciously intended to wash his mill ring, the frame which is fixed around the base of a mill. Malu azroim, what is the halacha regarding its rendering seeds susceptible to tumah? Any water which the food's owner wanted for some purpose renders food susceptible to tumah, even if he was not pleased with the water's contact with his food, provided that purpose did not involve karka. According to Rabbi Eliezer, who said anything attached to the ground is considered karka, and even an attached mortar is sold to the house, it's obvious that this rainwater would not render the seed susceptible to tumah, since a mill ring is considered karka. The question is relevant according to the Rabban, who say an attached mortar is not sold to the house, but a mill ring is sold. Do they consider both items which were fashioned and then attached as metaltelin, yet the mill ring is sold because it's designed to be fixed in the ground with this house? Or do they consider both to be like karka, but the mortar is not sold because mocher b'ayin ra? The question is left unresolved. All right, so now we get our siman daf samach vav. I understand the siman relates to sewing, sew, and we use a tailor in the siman. So here goes. The tailor who just finished sewing a picture of a beehive on a shirt with the word kakarka underneath and planned to keep it on a metal baker board attached to the wall was dismayed when it got wet from rainwater, which bounced off a mill ring onto it and some nearby seeds on the floor. So once again, slow motion. The tailor who just finished sewing. Tailor sewing? That must be more in daf samach vav. The tailor who just finished sewing a picture of a beehive on a shirt with the word kakarka underneath, which reminds us, a Mishnah discusses a kaveres dvorim, a beehive which the Gemara assumes was attached to the ground. Rabbi Yezer says, hari kakarka, it is halachically like land and can be acquired with money, a shtar, a chazaka. One may write a prusbol for a loan on its basis. The beehive, including its honey, is not susceptible to tumah while in its place. And one who breaks honey out of it on Shabbos is chayv to bring a chattas for katsira, for reaping. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is based on a drush of Yitba Osa B'yarz Hadvash, and he dipped it into the forest of honey, teaching Ma Yar Hatosh Menon B'Shabbos Chayv Chattas. Just as with a forest, one who detaches something from it on Shabbos is Chayv Chattas, so too with honey, one who breaks it off from the hive on Shabbos is Chayv Chattas, even if it's not physically attached. So the tailor who just finished sewing a picture of a beehive on a shirt with the word kakarka underneath and planned to keep it on a metal baker board attached to the wall, which reminds us more brings a malchokas if a dafshel nachtomim, a baker's board, is susceptible to tumah and clarifies that the Mishnah is discussing a metal board. So the tailor who just finished sewing a picture of a beehive on a shirt with the word kakarka underneath and planned to keep it on a metal baker board attached to the wall was dismayed when it got wet from rainwater which bounced off a mill ring onto it and some nearby seeds on the floor, which reminds us, Gemara discusses whether rainwater that one wanted to wash his attached mill ring is able to be makshir seeds. So once again, the tailor who just finished sewing a picture of a beehive on a shirt with the word kakarka underneath and planned to keep it on a metal baker board attached to the wall was dismayed when it got wet from rainwater which bounced off a mill ring onto it and some nearby seeds on the floor. All right, so now it's time for four blah back hazara, daf samach base. So the simmer daf samach base is a submarine. So here goes. The submarine captain's submarine. That must mean we're on daf samach beis. The submarine captain standing with the sailors on the shore with a map of a field marked with one boundary drawn long and one drawn short, which reminds us, the Gemara says, Matzu meitzer echod aruch umeitzer echod katzor. If the sailor drew one boundary long and one boundary short, meaning he drew the entire length of the western boundary where the adjacent field belonged to one person and only half the eastern boundary, of which half the adjacent field belonged to one person and half to another, Rav says, Lokana el kenegar katzor. He only acquires the area which is opposite the short boundary, meaning the half of the field enclosed by both described boundaries. So the submarine captain standing with the sailors on the shore with a map of a field marked with one boundary drawn long and one drawn short, and another map of a field that had three boundaries drawn, leaving out the fourth, which reminds us, a Maraim discussed a case where three boundaries of a sold field were drawn, but the fourth boundary was not. Rav says, Kana kol chutz mameitzer revi. He acquires everything except for a furrow's width of the fourth boundary, which the seller retains. Shmuel says he even acquires the fourth boundary because it did not need bare mentioning. Rav Asi says, Olkana el tel me'echon ok p'nei kula. He only acquires a single furrow's width around the entire field along the three drawn boundaries. So the submarine captain standing with the sailors on the shore with a map of a field marked with one boundary drawn long and one drawn short and another map of a field that had three boundaries drawn, leaving out the fourth, told them if they succeeded in the mission, he would give them half the land I own in a land he had a partnership in, which reminds us, Rabbah said that if a partner of a field wrote in a shtar of sale, Palgadi Isli Ba'ara, I am selling half that I own in the land, Palgan, then half the land is sold, meaning the partner's entire portion. If he wrote Palgan Ba'ar Di Isli, half in the land that I own, Ripa, then a quarter of the total land is sold, meaning half the partner's portion. In the first case, he sold the half which he owns, whereas in the second case, he sold half of the land which he owns, and thus sold a quarter of the land. Daf Samach Gimel. So the Simran Daf Samach Gimel is a segue. So here goes. The boy racing around on a segue. Segue? That must mean we're on Daf Samach Gimel. The boy racing around on a segue in a field of Levi sold his father, on condition the Maaser Rishon is his, which reminds us, a Braisa teaches that if a Levi sells a field to a Yisrael and stipulates, Amanah Maaser Rishon shall lead, the sale is with the condition that its Maaser Rishon is mine, then the Maaser Rishon is his. If he says the sale is with the condition the Maaser Rishon is mine and my children's after I die, then if he dies, the Yisrael gives the Maaser to his children. The Gemara wonders why this stipulation is effective. Ein adam makne davar shelo ba'olam. But a person cannot transfer ownership of something that has yet come into existence. It answers that since he made the condition to keep the miser, which would normally be ineffective, we say he retained for himself the place of the miser, meaning ownership of the land for its future miser. Since the land exists, the condition is effective. So the boy racing around on a segue in a field of Levi sold his father on condition the Maaser Rishon is his, had to duck under the boards that were jutting off a roof the home seller kept for himself, with the words Almanah Shehadyote El Yonah Shali, which reminds us, if one sells a house to his fellow and tells him Almanah Shehadyote El Yonah Shali, the sale is with the condition that the upper story is mine, meaning the roof enclosed with a tent of a fence, then the upper story is his. Since this additional stipulation is unnecessary because a seller retains such a roof anyway, it's interpreted to retain additional rights. It means that if the seller wants to project beams from the roof, he may, although it extends into the airspace of the chatzer, which the buyer now owns, because the seller retains rights in the chatzer to project beams into it. Rapapa has a different pshat. So the boy racing around on a segue in a field of Levi sold his father on condition the Maaser Rishon is his, had to duck under the boards that were jutting off a roof the home seller kept for himself, with the words Almanah Shehadyote El Yonah Shali, and was heading directly towards a pit that was included in the sale, with the words from the depth of the earth to the height of the sky, which reminds us. Rav Dimi from Nardot said that if one sells a house, even if he wrote to include umka veruma, the depth and height of the house in the sale, he must write kenilacha mitahom ara ba'adroma regia, acquire for yourself in the depth of the earth to the height of the sky, if he wants to include the house's pit in the sale. Daf Samach Dal, so the Simra Daf Samach Dal relates to Sod, secret, and we use a secret agent. So here goes. The secret agent, that must be more Daf Samach Dal, Sod, secret. The secret agent who sold his house and had to purchase the right of way to get to his cistern to hide in while doing surveillance, which reminds us of Gemara's Machlokes if one needs to purchase a right of way when selling a house and retaining the pit. So if the secret agent who sold his house and had to purchase the right of way to get to his cistern to hide in while doing surveillance was glad the cistern had such sturdily built walls, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that one who sells a house retains its bor, its pit, and dus, cistern. Ravina sat and asked, Hayinu bor, hayinu dus, a bor and a dus are the same. Since both are holes in the ground made to contain water, why did the Mishnah teach both? Ravi Tosfel answered Ravina from a Braisa, and the Rashbam explains that if the Mishnah had only taught that the seller retains the bor, one could think that a dus, which is a stone structure similar to the house, would be sold along with the house. If the Mishnah had only taught that a seller retains the dus, one could think that this is because it's independently significant, being a stone structure, but a bor, which is only a hole dug in the ground, would be sold along with the house. Therefore, the Mishnah taught that the seller retains both. So the secret agent who sold his house and had to purchase the right of way to get to a cistern to hide in while doing surveillance was glad the cistern had such sturdily built walls and had a very good eye, not only for finding clues, but also for being generous while doing sales, which reminds us. The Gemara explains the Machlokes if the seller must purchase a derech for his retained pit. Rabbi Akiva holds that mocher ba'ayin yafa mocher, a seller sells with a good eye, meaning generously and fully, and so is presumed not to have retained a derech for himself to access the pit without stipulating it. The Rabbanan hold mocher ba'ayin ra mocher, a seller sells with an evil eye, meaning grudgingly and minimally, and we assume he retained a derech to access the pit. Daf Samachay, so the Simmer Daf Samachay says sheep, and we often use a shepherd in the Simmon. So here goes. The two shepherd brothers shepherd, that must mean Daf Samachay, says sheep. The two shepherd brothers who divided their father's estate and gave each other right of way through their property, which reminds us, Rav says the halacha falls the chamim, mocher ba'ein ra mocher. Shmuel says the halacha falls Rabbi Akiva that mocher ba'ein yafa mocher. Ravina asks Ravashi if they repeated the machlokas elsewhere because Shmuel said ha'achin shechalku regarding brothers who divided an estate, ein lohen loderech zeh al zeh, they do not have a right of way in each other's property nor other rights such as for ladders, windows, and irrigation streams. Rav says yesh lohen, the brothers do have all these rights. rights. Apparently, they argue that the brothers who sold their rights in each other's portions sell ba'ain yafa and do not retain a derech or ba'ain ra. So the two shepherd brothers who divided their father's estate and gave each other right away through their property watched their third brother sell his house, which included anything fixed in place, such as the attached mortar, which reminds us the next Mishnah lists which accessories are sold together with a house. The Rashbam explains that the general principle is that anything permanently fixed in place is sold with a house. Anything movable is not. Similarly, a machteshes gvua, an attached mortar, is sold with a house, but not a movable mortar. If the seller says, "Hu b'kol mashmasocho, I'm selling the house and everything in it," then all these items are sold. So the two shepherd brothers who divided their father's estate and gave each other right away through their property watched their third brother sell his house, which included anything fixed in place, such as the attached mortar, and who was proudly showing the buyer the wood he placed in the ground and then hauled out to be a gutter to bring water to the mikveh, which reminds us, in a brisa it was taught, a water pipe which was hauled out and then attached to the ground posels a mikveh. Water which flows through it disqualifies a mikveh because the pipe is considered a kli. If it was first attached to the ground and then hollowed out, ain't a posel as a mikveh. The water does not disqualify the mikveh because the pipe is considered part of the ground and the hollowing out is considered a mere ditch in the ground. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf do we discuss a Levi who sold a field stipulating to receive its Maaser Rishon? That's on daf Samach Gimel. Good. Number two, which daf do you and why Rebbe Eliezer considers a Keferes Dvorim, a beehive, like Karka? That's on daf Samach Vav. Good. Number three, which daf do we discuss practices for mourning the Churban, such as leaving a space in one's home unplastered? That's on daf Samach. Good. Number four, which daf do we learn the call is that anything permanently in place, like an attached mortar, is sold along with a house? That's on daf Samach Hey. Good. Number five, which daf do we have a machokas if a daf shel nechtomim, a baker's board, is susceptible to tumah? That's on daf Samach Vav. Good. Number six, which daf do we have a case where three boundaries of a sold field were drawn, but the fourth boundary was not? That's on daf Samach Beis. Good. Number seven, which daf do we have a machokas of brothers who divide an estate retain the right of way through each other's property? That's on daf Samach Hey. Good. Number eight, which daf do you discuss if rainwater that one wanted to wash his attached mill ring is able to be makshir seeds? That's on daf Samach Vav. Good. Number nine, which daf do you discuss writing mitahom ara ba'ad romer kia in the sale of a house? That's on daf Samach Gimel. Good. Number 10, which daf do you discuss when a tzinor attached to the ground disqualifies a mikveh? That's on daf Samach Hey. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.